direct from the web, it's Billy Masters Live. And now, please welcome your host, Billy Masters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Billy Masters Live. I am, of course, Billy Masters. Thank you, Monica. And today is Thursday, June 17th, 2021. We're slowly inching out of quarantine, and things are kind of getting back to normal. And this time of the year would typically be the time that Broadway Bears takes place on Broadway. It is not taking place in person because, again, there is that pandemic. So there is going to be a virtual show this year, but there was a virtual show last year, and they still made, oh, God. I forget how much money, just like under $1 million, I think. But somebody will tell me, I'm sure. So for those of you who don't know what Broadway Bears is, I talked to Jerry Mitchell last year, who may join us this year, but we don't think so. And he explained how it started. But before I roll in the clip from last year, and I would like you to notice this shirt. Now, you're going to notice in the clip, I'm wearing the same shirt. So just because you don't think I'm some nasty hoe, do you see? I've got so many of this shirt, which is one of my favorite shirts. You know, I have interchangeable tops. Take that anyway. All right. Anyway, because, you know, when you find a good top, get them in multiples. Words to live by. So anyway, this is Jerry Mitchell, the founder of Broadway Bears, talking about how Broadway Bears started and a little bit about his history. So roll them. My first question is, do you miss performing?
No, not at all. Not at all. I never, you know, even when I was performing, I was already thinking about shows and developing shows. I tried to get the rights to Hairspray when I was still a dancer.
But oh, I didn't.
Nobody knew who I was, and it just was impossible. I asked Sindroff to get me the rights to Hairspray. He can tell you that story, and of course, Margot got them, and then I got her to hire me. But I was trying to get rights to things to turn into musicals. So that was, I was always thinking of choreographing and directing beyond just even when I was in shows, I wanted to assist. I was assisting Michael Bennett. You know, Jerome Robbins, I was assisting Donald Sadler, Agnes DeMille. I was assisting all the people that I was dancing for.
And what's great is that also you're getting everything from them that you can put together in your own projects.
Without question. I mean, it was better than university.
What was that? So let's go back to Will Rogers Follies. It's sort of, I want to say the height of the AIDS epidemic, but I guess it's really before the height, really, when you think about it.
It was 1990, 91. We had done the workshop and we were on Broadway. And Broadway Cares and Equity Fights AIDS were two separate organizations. They had not combined yet. And there was the Easter Bonnet fundraiser for Equity Fights AIDS or Broadway Cares, and it was done by the cast of La Cage, which was originally in the Palace Theater. Mm-hmm. So all the shows would put on an Easter Bonnet competition, and we were trying to raise money for our show and finding fun ways to do it. Everybody was doing bake sales, everybody was signing posters, and I was naked in the show, and Jason Opsahl, Troy Johnson, John Gannon, Jack Doyle, all the dressing roommates, I came up one day, I said, what are we gonna do? And Jason said, go dance on the bar at Splash in that costume and let's make some money. Go-go dancing. And I went, literally the light bulb went off over my head. And as a young choreographer wanting to choreograph in the AIDS crisis, when no musicals were being produced with dance because it's sexy and no musicals were being produced with young upcoming choreographers or directors because the financial risk was too high, I put on my own show. Like Mickey and Judy, I put on my own show. It just happened to be a strip show at a bar with seven other guys. And we made $8,000. I gave the money to Broadway Cares. I said, I can do this better. I'll add girls. 6 months later, I added girls. We made $17,000. I said, I can do this better. The third one was at Bump, and we did like $35,000. And by then, the show had taken on a life of its own already. And I continued to direct and produce and choreograph all the way until the 13th one. But by then, Hairspray was a hit. Yeah. My time was getting limited. I had associates and assistants working with me. Sergio Trujillo, Jody Mocha, Dennis Jones, and Rochelle Rack. They were all working on the show with me as choreographers. And so I stepped away and became a producer and sort of passed that torch to the younger group coming up to direct and choreograph their own numbers. And look at what's happened. Besides last year, we made $2 million in one night. Sergio, Lauren Lataro, Josh Rhodes, Nick, Leia, who am I missing? I'm missing others. have all been choreographers in Broadway Bears before they were choreographers on Broadway. The same thing that happened for me. So it was this opportunity to bring the community together and everyone get to be their very best at doing what they love to do that they don't get to do in a Broadway show. So I think that was part of the joy at the event where everybody felt like, oh God, I'll never get to do that on a stage. So I want to do that. And plus, let's face it, when you're young and hot, sex sells and you want to get up there and make some money and do a good deed.
I also think that when it started, because they were dark times, it was sort of a release and a celebration when there wasn't a lot to celebrate. You know, it's sort of like the pandemic that, you know, I was talking backstage to Christopher and we were talking about when I started the show, it was Seth Rudetsky who said, we just got to get out and entertain the people and you do what you can. You're a dancer. That's what you did.
That was the other thing is I've always been a fan of burlesque and I loved burlesque. And here was this opportunity to put on a show. So we didn't really talk much. We just kind of did what we did. We created numbers and stripped. And at the end, we go-go danced and we went home and we counted how much money we raised. And it all went to Broadway Cares. And, you know, Chris has been there for forever. I mean, it's just the people, the spirit in which it was originally created has maintained itself for 30 years. And grown huge. But, you know, a lot of fundraisers will burn out after 10 years because they just don't have the spirit. And the spirit of the community coming together has always been what's fueled the show.
Yeah, I also think there is something about what you've done in terms of bringing young blood in, new blood, because there's always going to be new dancers coming up the ranks. There's always going to be need. So it seems like a symbiotic relationship that they're helping each other.
They are. And also it's a chance for young performers on Broadway to do something that most of the time they're not asked to do in their Broadway shows. Right. And that's what gets them excited, I think, to give back, to participate, but also to dance and do the kind of dancing they love to do that they don't always get to do in their Broadway show.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that all of these benefits have in common, like, say, Broadway Backwards, where a man can sing a female song. It's something they never get to do. They're raising money, living a dream, and having fun. I mean, where is the downside?
There is no downside.
There's and they no got downside to work to... with you, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Well, now I'm because I'm more of a producer, they get to work with Nick and Leia this year and last year and a couple of years before. And next year, Leia's going to direct the 30th anniversary when we can do it, which will hopefully be next year.
That was my question to you, because this started, it was the very first one, 1992?
Yes. I did two in 92.
Okay.
And the third was in 93. So because I did the first two 6 months apart and I thought, oh, this is going to take way too much effort.
Yeah.
And so we did it once a year.
Okay.
And then 93, and we moved it from spring to Father's Day. It's gone from April to now always being in June.
Cause I was wondering, I'm reading the press release saying, how is this 30 if we started in 92, but you had two the first year.
Yeah.
Got it. You know, math isn't my strong suit. Like, I don't know. Is it 30? Is it 29? So this is like 31. So you heard Jerry mention Chris, and that Chris being Christopher Sieber, who has been with Broadway Bears. We were trying to figure this out at least 25 years. Christopher and I spoke about Broadway Bears the first time I had a talk show, which was like 10, 12 years ago in Los Angeles, live in a club. We have a clip before we go to Christopher, so roll the clip. Well, tell them what Broadway Bears is.
Well, Broadway Bears is an event they do one night only in New York City at the Roseland Ballroom, and a lot of the Broadway dancers, performers, whomever, get up on stage, and they take their clothes off, and literally in front of about 4,000 people. But it's not just it's an incredible show. There's always a theme.
Great choreography.
Great choreography. Jerry Mitchell does most of the work.
Amazing.
You know, Jerry Mitchell, he's like the most amazing choreography director. And he, maybe.
Shut up. You're not going to want to hear him sing. Just wait.
And, well, the one year that my partner Kevin and I did.
Was that Kevin?
That was Kevin.
Okay, now don't even say it. We have a clip.
Do you really?
I have a clip.
Really?
Are you ready with the clip? Now we have a big screen back there. Just watch the clip.
Okay.
It's just short. It's only 30
wait a
seconds.
That's the ocean.
You know, that faith that flushed out.
Well, there we are. That's not. That's me. That's my partner, Kevin, right there.
I didn't know it was Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, watch this. It's so funny. Yeah.
This is all we can get. It's totally amazing.
That's how
running.
How far do you go?
I do. Yeah, perfect.
Oh. Good question. Come on.
Okay, I think that's all we got.
That's all you have?
Is that we have? That's all we have.
That sounds okay.
Now that's just the beginning. On a game,
I love that.
Isn't that great?
No,
though?
Yeah. You know,
and how much money do you guys raise every year?
Well, we each year it climbs up. And when they first started, they started at a bar in New York called The Splash, and it was just like it was just like four dancers.
Yeah,
that
Jerry
Mitchell was in Will Rogers Follies, and they got together with a couple of people and said, you know, what we should do is we should go to Splash and like dance on the bar and strip and
strip parades.
They raised like $12,000 in one night. And then from then on, it became, and now we raise $500,000 or more in one night.
Okay, $500,000 in one night 12 years ago. The most recent live one, I believe, made over $2 million. So everyone should be very proud of themselves, but I am proud of my friend, Christopher Sieber. Hey, Christopher.
Oh my God,
we were babies there.
Oh, I was just looking at, first of all, us and how gorgeously youthful we were.
Oh,
but also that clip of, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that in a while. But I was like, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. And then they did.
And those were asses.
And those, yeah. Did we talk about this last time? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But we, right. Kevin and I worked literally our asses off. Well, on, but we worked so hard to get these bodies, and I was down to like this ridiculously low weight, so you could see every ripple and every muscle. Something I learned from that is when you don't have enough body fat in your body, everything hurts more. Because
really?
There's more fat to lubricate your joints and your muscles, so you're like your bottom of your feet hurt.
Nothing hurts me. Clearly.
Well, and then we went after this night was over, and that was kind of the show that kind of broke the mold of what Broadway Bears was. It was always kind of a fun little, you know, spoofy little show, but then it got like serious that year, which was a comic strip, and we kind of pushed the limit of, you know, seeing a couple basically kind of pretty much take off each other's clothes and make love. And that was
how long had you been together at that point?
About a year and a half.
Oh, so it was really,
yeah,
new.
It was. Oh,
so,
we rehearsed at home.
So, you know, you heard Jerry talking about Broadway Bears
at
the beginning. When did you start? Because you were really near the beginning.
I think it was, so I'm doing, because we were talking earlier, and I think it was 2000 was my very first one.
Okay.
And then because 2001 was a strip odyssey, and then it was comic strip after that. So coming down to about 22 years now.
And what have you noticed? What is the biggest change in Broadway Bears for you? Is it the production? Is it the people? Is it the
audience?
So
many things. There's so many things. Because Jerry Mitchell, Jerry was saying earlier, too, it's like the one thing that it keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And how do we outdo ourselves? Because like what he said, charities do burn out. Broadway Bears has never burned out because it's, like what he said, the spirit, but it's also everyone who's a fan of Broadway Bears cannot wait for this, and they want to see what is going to happen, because it's always a new theme and it's always something new. It's never the same thing. Mm. Plus it's live and, you know, and it's exciting and it goes and it goes and it goes. And the production, since we moved to the Hammerstein Ballroom, that place is enormous. And we have, for doing Broadway Broadway Bears, we actually have basically a Broadway stage. So we can have...
And a Broadway-size audience.
Place holds like 4,000 people.
Oh, I mean, standing, right, of course.
It's huge. It's huge, yes. And it's not seated. So right. We have flies, and now, and then they've added LED screens, and we can do so many... I'm part of it. It's royal we. But we can do so much. The one thing that's different... Well, also, I'm like Sebastian Lacaze is going to come on, I think, later, right? Mm-hmm. And he and I were, you know, he especially was one of the original Broadway Bears, you know, featured people.
Right. He was really the first star that took off that people were going to see.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so beautiful. I mean, my God, he's still gorgeous. Yeah. The production and like, the one thing that's changed for me is like I used to know every single person on the stage 22 years ago, and now I don't know a lot of them because I'm old.
First, you're not old. You're
well, I know. The funny thing, there's so many people that are always there, and I'm one of them. But there are also the new kids coming up, and they know me, which is great. But also, when we were at Roseland Ballroom, everybody was just downstairs in the lower lobby, and that was the dressing room, and they put up walls and stuff, and we were down there, everybody. The ballroom, everyone has separate dressing rooms. So the one thing that's missing that I loved was everybody was always in this little down space.
The camaraderie.
Yeah. And everybody's like, Oh my God. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Nice to see your boobs. And, yeah, right. And then somebody would come down and say, all right, next day I'm coming up, and you go up and do your show and then come down. And it was exciting and great.
You know, I remember Jerry saying that too, that there became a time where, you know, up until a certain point, he knew the name of everybody working on the show. And as you know, Jerry is so hands on for him to say, hi, honey, because I don't know every single person's name.
It's impossible. Like 100 and anywhere from, you know, 150 to 100, I don't know, maybe even 200 dancers now that we have a little more room too. Right. There's a lot of flesh up on that stage. And so I love too that it's become such more body positive in the probably like the last 10 years, body positive and more inclusive and, open, for equality and everybody's involved. So, and, you know, even if you don't have the ripped body, you're still involved. Even if, you know, everyone's welcome, which is so nice.
Well, I think you've been a really big champion in that because, as you said, when you get older and you're not in the shape of these kids, it's impossible to keep up with them. And you have to just say, but who cares? I am who I am, and I'm here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I've seen you there where you've kind of made fun of it and like, yeah, well, I used to look
here
like
I am.
Him. And, you know, yep. Sorry.
Those were the days.
And also, we should mention that this year, we have trans people like Peppermint is in this year.
It's going to be awesome.
Many more people of color.
BIPOC and everybody, even more diverse than ever before. And it's really cool too. The only way I'm involved, so I'm including myself in this year's Broadway Bears, even though I'm not in anything, but they used my name because I'm the rotation master at the end of the show. And I've been doing that for, 15, 16
years. Was Jason the first one?
Jason, when Jason passed away, Jerry asked me to take over, and I've been doing it ever since. You'll hear my voice going, rotate, but that's it. But I'm involved, so I'm including it. I'm in.
Yeah. And I think you're somebody also who wants to be involved in everyone. So like whatever I can do.
Yeah. It's a fun night, but the cool thing they're doing too, is since everybody was, you know, where we have been the last year and 4 months, last year was kind of this virtual thing. And it was kind of thrown together. It's never thrown together, but it was a major challenge because they couldn't do what we normally do. So, but this year they had an opportunity because they weren't sure. So they just went ahead and made the decision. This is what we're going to do. And they made, I think, about 12 different mini music videos, basically. Some are fun. Some are of course lovely and touching, and some are just sexy and raw and fabulous. But each one is tells a story of what we've been doing for the last year. And some of them are like, what are we going to do after this is all over? What is it going to be like when all of us get out of here? And then there's going to be a couple other ones that are just like, you know, waking up and like snuggling and yeah, it's going to be great. So, but you know, that's the thing about Broadway Cares. They know everybody, and they can get anybody to help them. So they've got some great filmographers doing all these things, and all the dancers were like, gung ho, let's do this. So they did everything, you know, safe with the COVID and the restrictions and all that. But it's going to be an incredible show, and it's free. That's the thing.
Yeah, that is important. And we should also tell people that it is this Sunday at 9 o'clock or 9:30.
They'll probably do an encore, but I think it's usually 9:30 is the first show. But it's free. And they only ask you to go to the web address. Yeah, and then just donate. You know, and then also there will be a strip-a-thon is going to, again, we've been doing that for years too, a strip-a-thon. Yeah. And with that strip-a-thon, once the show begins and you see a dancer or something, you can go to the strip-a-thon page. I think it's still with broadwaycares.org/bears, and it's still there. And then you can find your favorite dancer and scroll on them and donate.
Yep, and we will have the high fundraiser for the past 2 years. Mark McKillop is going to be on here as well. But let's show a little clip. I have Broadway Bears sent me a teaser for this year. Cool. They did, and Mark will tell us about this later, they got a lot of dancers to do something live in Times Square. And so we have some behind-the-scenes footage. So take a look at this, guys.
It was very emotional today to see everyone after 15 months. The last time I was in Times Square doing something like this was after 9/11. I was choreographing a show called Never Gonna Dance, and Drew Hodges called me from Spotco and said, would you help me get the community together to say New York is back, Broadway is back. And so the first thing I thought of was when it was time and Broadway Bears was ready, I wanted to bring the Broadway Bears, Broadway Cares community together in Times Square to say we're back and we're ready for business. And here we are.
Broadway Bears is one of our most beloved and longest running annual events. Since 1991, Jerry Mitchell, an incredible group of choreographers and dancers and production and tech folks, have come together to put together one of the most hot, exhilarating events we do all year.
And I think the thing about this show and the community and the people is that Broadway Cares proves that we are at our best when we are together. So many of the young performers who come to participate in Broadway Bears do it because it's a sexy show and they get to do the kind of choreography they don't do in their Broadway shows. But what they don't know is that it was started because we were in another kind of pandemic. Everyone was dying from AIDS. And we started the show 30 years ago to raise money for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. Here we are in a society that has lost over 500,000 people to COVID, and the only thing responsible to do is to come together and help those who need help, and that's what we do.
So we literally not only help tens of thousands in our own industry, but hundreds of thousands of more across the country.
I have 13 amazing choreographers. Each has created a mini movie, I call it, in a tribute to Broadway Bears, mini strip routines. They are so talented. So it's a brand new Broadway Bears, and it's 13 original small movies, and I'm just really excited about it. So join us June 20th at broadwaycares.org/bears for this year's virtual show, Twerk From Home.
So there's a little bit behind the scenes footage. And what's great about that clip is you see a lot of the people who work behind the scenes who aren't on stage stripping usually, but they're the people who really keep this organization going and the show going.
Yeah, we have some amazing IATSE crew too that have been helping us out for 22 years or so, or even more. And all their time is donated because it's not in a Broadway house. So IATSE, they are volunteering their time, which if we were doing it at a Broadway theater, they would have to be paid. So they are doing it for free because they love it as well. But they put it all in. And of course IATSE 1A is like the best you know, crews in the world, you know,
Absolutely. The Broadway crew. And I love what Jerry brought together is that this started in another pandemic. And it really, you know, it's sobering when you stop and think, because Christopher and I are old enough to remember what that was like. And that if you think this is scary, and this is scary, whatever we're going through now, that was scary in a, because we didn't know anything.
That and people just didn't care.
And they people just disappeared. That's
and, people, and that was the other thing, too. People just up and disappeared. And like, where are they? I was like, oh, they're just gone.
And you were afraid to ask, oh, how is so-and-so doing? Because the answer might not be, they're not doing. They're
or if somebody, as somebody was losing weight, you're like, are you okay?
Yeah, before the show.
Like now, I'm like, yes, I'm fine. I'm just summer shape. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm turning to you saying, oh, you look so good. You didn't do that in the 80s and 90s.
No, you never.
Because that was bad news.
Yeah, potentially.
Anyway, you mentioned that one of the veterans, one of the biggest stars that Broadway Bears produced was Sebastian Lacaze. And I mean, kind of insulted, but really didn't kind of insult, because I don't know Sebastian. Usually I only have people on the show who know me. And if they don't know me, they're like, what does that mean? Christopher doesn't really think that anymore. But Sebastian, I told him, you know, two people asked specifically about you being on the show. And he's like, well, I don't want to disappoint those two fans. So there are many, many more fans. Only two mentioned you by name. But let me welcome for the first time on Billy Masters Live, Sebastian Lacaze. Hey, Sebastian.
Hello. Thanks for having me. And a shout out to those two fans who mentioned me by name. I'm so happy to be here in support of your desire of me.
Gone but not forgotten. What was the last Broadway Bears you did? Do you remember?
The last Broadway Bears that I did was the... I was a warden. Was that Monopoly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The warden in prison. Yep.
Yeah, I was. That was the last one that I did. I don't remember. I don't ask me what year that was.
Yeah, it's all right. No, I know. The years are all fuzzy. Well, there was. We did find footage of you carved on the side of a cave somewhere.
A hieroglyphic.
Exactly. And it's you recreating Space Cowboy. Do you remember how that came about?
Space Cowboy. Yeah. Well, I was working with Jerry at the time. I was doing, I was playing Rocky in Rocky Horror Show Revival. And I had already done two Broadway Bears prior to that. So they just reached out to me and said, this is what we are thinking. Do you want to do it? And of course I said, yes.
Do you remember the clip we have is it was at Splash, I believe, and it was recreating iconic moments. Do you remember what it was like going back and doing it again in a nightclub setting?
Right. Well, at the time I was also working on and off at Splash. So Splash was also like my place of employment for a number of years, too. I mean, it was great. I mean, Space Cowboy was a really, really exciting time in my life because I was doing Rocky, but it was also just a really exciting number to do. So revisiting it at Splash was super fun, you know? Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Let's show the clip. Here we go. It's a very short clip.
I mean, I think you saw the best parts, I think.
Oh, I think so. Christopher, how did you two meet? Do you remember?
We just kind of, we're just kind of, it's Broadway, you know, just kind of around. And we're more acquaintances than anything. Because we never really actually worked together except kind of adjacent.
Yeah, we were just on the boards, as they say, at the same time.
Yeah, we were just kind of. And that's the thing about Broadway, too. Once you know, you're kind of in the neighborhood, you're just kind of part of it all. So you're like, oh, hi. And, you know, but Sebastian, your Broadway Bears stuff is like legendary. you know, people, well, obviously those two fans.
Right. Yeah. I mean, ingrained in their hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those people are tenacious. They, when they like somebody, they hold on to them. And I did find a picture of you and Josh Berger, which, you know, just a little bit fabulous. I don't know Josh either. You know, if Josh has any fans, put in a request. Maybe next year we'll get him.
I think those that are, was, by the way, all those muscles on Josh are fake.
Yeah, well, I could tell. You had those muscles. I remember.
It's all surgery. No, I'm kidding. He's gorgeous.
Both of them. I mean, you know, but Sebastian, what Christopher and I were talking about earlier is the feeling about Bears. And what were your feelings doing it? Did you have the same experience that he was talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was... was overwhelming in such a beautiful way. I think it was always such an exciting event to be a part of. And I think what I loved so much about it was that in many ways it was like flipping the script, because, you know, here we were raising money for HIV and AIDS, which was sort of like shrouded the body and gay sex in shame. And here we were celebrating it and, saying that the body is not only beautiful, but it's divine, as is sex. It's a part of our creativity. It was just so sex positive in a beautiful, like, divine way that I just really appreciated so much. And the crazy thing about all of that is my very first Broadway Bears, which I think was 98, which was the calendar girl year, I think, was that I had literally just been diagnosed like months prior to that. So that was a crazy sort of moment that I only have recently sort of gone back and like really looked at and gone like, wow, there I was that was my first year, my first like solo strip. And at the end of that runway, just being admired by so many people, yet on the inside, I was, you know, really dealing with a lot of just being recently diagnosed. So it was just a crazy paradox and just a really a wild moment that I'm proud of. And was such a defining moment in many ways, even though it took many years to uncover the importance or the magic or the learning, the wisdom in that moment.
Yeah, I it's interesting you mentioned that, because Billy Porter last week or 2 weeks ago now had come out as HIV positive and talked about how he had been positive for, I think, 14 years, and felt like he had let down the community and let down himself because he should have known better, and really beating himself up. So I think that that's really important. What you just said is that a lot of these people on stage, some are positive, some are negative, some don't know, but they're embraced by everybody because they're there for the same purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't know that Billy was like beating himself up for that. But yeah, I mean, that's a journey. That's a process. And that's like a spiritual journey that many of us go on too. You know, it takes a certain amount of, I think, life experience to get to a point where you are sort of sick of your own shit. And you just sort of finally are like, I'm done with running away from myself. And you really start digging deep within and finding the will to sort of not only stand in your truth, but speak your truth and just be a light, really. And, you know, if anything, help others sort of like start asking themselves questions about their own lives and maybe guiding others to, you know, to heal some deep developmental trauma that so many gay people have, that we're only just now starting to like, oh wow, we have trauma that we haven't dealt with. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's also something I think great that Broadway Bears and Broadway Cares does as well. You know, it's really about healing so much of just the trauma and the shame and the guilt that that we have carried from generations before us, you know, and it's important to acknowledge that and to accept it and to forgive and to heal. And Broadway Bears in many ways is healing for so many people, and definitely for me as an individual, you know.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is so interesting, because I hadn't thought on that level. I had thought, how great that a show that can entertain can also raise money and raise awareness. But the idea of healing, not only for the participants, but for the audience, and to have that release that Christopher had talked about earlier, especially in those early days when people were so scared, to come together and say, we're in this together, you're not alone, and let's celebrate even for a night.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You know, if there's a legacy for Broadway Bears, I think that's even more valuable than all the money they've raised.
100%, I agree with you, yeah. And so, yeah, how exciting to be a part of that legacy.
Can I ask you, what have you been up to during the pandemic? How are you doing?
Honestly, I'm doing amazing. I mean, to be able to talk about my status was like sort of became, well, that journey began prior to the pandemic. I've just been on a very transformative path this past couple of years. And so the pandemic really allowed me the space to just like even go further into myself and sort of face a lot of darkness that I had been repressing. Mm. So the pandemic for me was, again, in the topic of healing, it has been such a healing experience, and also so creative. I'm a writer now, and I produce my own stuff.
And filmmaker.
And a filmmaker. I have a film that's in festivals right now that is about a priest who is confronting his own HIV. And like I dumped a bunch of my own story in that. And that's doing great in the festivals and winning awards. And we're going to have a screening in Dumbo in September, which I'm really excited about. That'll be fun to actually be in a screening with people after. That film was like 4 years in the making. And that actually dragged me out of my own sort of fear of being public with it. And I talked about my status when I did the Kickstarter for that back in November of 2019. And that was sort of like, I realized the one of the reasons I was doing that film was to sort of find my way. So a sort of long-winded question is, I'm doing great. my health, my mental health is just in, you know, is important to me. And it's something that I never really necessarily focused on before. It was all sort of about just like my career and like sort of branching beyond that and realizing that we're more than just, you know, these physical bodies has just been, you know, life-changing and incredible transformation. So I'm doing great.
Cool. And in terms of physical bodies, your body still looks great. And really, I'm a shallow bitch, so that's all I care about.
So,
Christopher, I'm going to keep you on the screen as I talk to each guy. We're going to bring you all back at the end just to wrap up. So I'm going to put you backstage.
Okay.
Thank you, Sebastian. Oh, my God. This is so much fun. This is like, you know, I love doing these because it's like catching up with people. Because we've all been sitting home. Like, you just went on your first vacation.
Yeah.
So speaking of the oldies but goodies.
Yes.
Oh, one of my favorites. I have to say, I've had a crush on this man for years and years. When I was living in Medford as a college student, and I saw a picture of him in backstage, and I fell totally in love with Patrick Boyd. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if that's what's out in New York, I got to get to New York. So, we showed a different clip last year. We showed We're in the Money last year. Mm. This is, again, a solo of Patrick. He's playing a newsboy, which, of course, is kind of ironic, and we'll talk about that. But here we go, Patrick Boyd.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it doesn't get better than that.
I was
right
only
now.
Thinking if the magic trick failed.
No, surprise! Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Boyd.
Oh,
hey, wow. Patty.
Hi, I did not know you were going to play that clip.
Patty, I like to keep people on their toes here.
Oh, my
gosh. That brought back memories, let me tell you.
Yes, yes. It was fun to you know, I've been a magician. That's how I got into show business. So
I didn't
know
that.
I thought, you know, we're always trying to think of new things to do with strips. So I thought, well, let me try to do, you know, some magic and one
was
of my
it shows. Your idea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The theme of that particular solo strips was innocence gone bad. So good to bad. So I thought, I'm not that innocent, you know. And the newsboy thing, yes. My history with Gypsy is...
You were in the Bette Midler version, correct?
I was, yes. I played Kansas. Yeah, I gave Louise the cat. Yeah, that's right, my... Wow. But that was, that was a lot of fun working with her.
So, Patty, how many of these have you done? How many Broadway Bears?
I think I've done 9 or 10 of them. Either on stage, backstage, merchandise, but actually five on stage.
So I guess, you know, Christopher, that's an interesting point, is that people, even though if they're a performer, that's not all that the people can do. They can be working backstage. They can be wrangling. They can be at concessions.
There's
they can
so
be
much to do, actually. They actually always need more volunteers every year. And it's fun because you get to see the show for free.
That is the best part.
But backstage too. I mean, just even the MAC Cosmetics, and you know, they've been donating stuff to us, and the makeup people, like I was saying earlier about IATSE, the makeup and hair people, they're volunteering their time too. It's really incredible. So, but yes, even just taking tickets at the door, selling T-shirts, being a dollar, you know, one of these dollar bill boys, we call them dollar bill boys, where they have a box of dollar bills. You give them $100, they give you $100 bills.
And there's the website right there. So
yes.
You can donate. You can watch the show. You can do whatever you want to do there. Patrick, what was your favorite Broadway Bears memory?
My favorite Broadway Bears memory. Doing the he's in the money was a lot of fun. I got to tap dance, take off all my clothes, and then and then get friendly with Alan Cummings, backstage afterwards,
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I'm looking. I thought I had some pictures. Do I have pictures of you backstage? Oh, what about this picture? That's one of my favorite memories of Broadway Bears.
Yeah, there's
nothing
with that.
Hand tipped, I believe.
Yeah, I don't mind people touching me. So this was, this checked all the boxes.
That was rotation, I believe.
That was rotation.
I believe that is rotation, you're allowed to tip. What about this picture? What's going on there?
That was the final number right before rotation. That was the end of the show.
In United Strips, right?
United Strips, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, the body is just staggering.
Thank you.
Christopher, get a little closer, Christopher.
No, I'm trying to see.
He's counting the abs, I know.
Yeah, look at that one. I like it.
I wish I could find them.
we've talked about what people give to Broadway Bears, but what have you gotten out of Broadway Bears personally?
For me, it's been personal, and I think Sebastian spoke so eloquently about all of this. But I'm of an older generation of Gypsy, so it's always been an honor. It was always an honor to do it. But I do it in the spirit of giving back. A lot of that money goes to the Actors Fund of America, which I'm a client, and. I'm a survivor of the pandemic, of the AIDS pandemic, and I did lose friends, And so I dance for my performer friends who are no longer with us and celebrate their lives and just to represent my era of Broadway gypsies, you know, Jerry's era of gypsies. So for me, it's if somebody wants to see me take my clothes off and give money, then, you know, so be it. But I just look at it as a way of it's the least I can do to give back.
Yeah, what I love about your performances in particular is that everybody does, but you hit the stage with such purpose and such energy when you're up there, and it's like you're shot out of a cannon. I always wait for you to come out because you really are like gangbusters.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
We're in the Money is just such people. It's on YouTube. Go look at it. Or we'll look at last year's show. What was the last Bears you've done?
That was 2015, the 25th anniversary. He's in the Money. Yeah.
Oh, that was your last one.
That was the last one. Yeah. Yeah.
But you'll come back.
I did Merchandise, I think, a year after that or so. But oh, I definitely want to come back. Chris, are we in? Are we in?
Yeah, I'm in it. I'm always in it. I'll be it. You know, and Jerry always surprises me. It's like, oh, you're in it this year. I was like, okay. All right. The one that you did the last year in the Money was the JM one, where it was the kind of like 42nd Street kind of themed thing where the curtain came up, and it was the first time in Hammerstein Ball the curtain came up and there's like 200 butts. Just butts. They're just kind of like doing the 42nd Street opening number. The curtain comes up to a certain level. There's just asses.
It's fantastic.
It was awesome. It was great. It was great. Add on to that. Yeah. So Jerry said, yeah, you're going to be with Jen Cody and Rachel Rack. And the three of you are the older strippers. You're going to do got to have a gimmick, basically. And so I was working my ass off to get into Bear shape, and then he says, oh no, we don't want you to do that, we want you to play JM. He's like the lead, he's, you know, Julian Marsh. And I was like, great. Oh, and here's your costume. It was a three-piece wool suit that wasn't strip away, and I just like, I have abs, I worked 6 months to get this, and you're covering it up
and you're gonna see him.
I look good, so. But
Patrick, we haven't talked to you. Well, I mean, you and I have chatted, but online we haven't talked. How have you been since last year? How have you done during the pandemic?
Things have been okay. I mean, I would be lying if I said that it wasn't difficult. I think I've struggled for a lot of performers. We define ourselves by what we do. And without performing, it's been really tough to kind of find an identity. And as Sebastian was saying, it gave me a time to reflect. I think I have used work as a distraction in the past from things, you know, going on and life. So it's been a little difficult to kind of navigate through the waters with no work and no as a distraction. So I've been doing that and helping my mother out. My mother's dealing with some health issues, so I've been helping her out. She lives in West Virginia. But, looking to find out what the next step is, what the next chapter is going to hold.
Cool. I know that it's been hard for everybody, and so yeah. I'd just like to make sure that people are doing okay. Do you have anything coming up now that think we're kind of inching out of this?
Well, I was about to open a play 1 week. Well, we're going into the theater 1 week before the pandemic started.
Christopher's life.
Yeah.
we were already up and running, but we had 8 previews to go before we opened. So we never opened.
No.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to that point of even being in the theater yet, Patrick.
Yeah, we were 1 week from loading into the theater. A play that we'd been working on, written by John Spano, called Dennis, that we'd been working on since 2017. So we're still kind of waiting. We're in a holding pattern to see what's going to happen with Dennis moving forward. But it's gonna have a production somewhere very soon.
Cool. I hope so. Yeah. Patrick, hang out backstage. I'll bring you on at the end. But thank you for being here. You're always so good to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Billy. It's good to be here.
And so, you know, somebody who I've never had on the show, but Christopher, you performed with, I forget what year. Well, it was Takes Off. It was the year
that was the last. That was the,
Is that your last
live one? That was the last live one. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay. So that one opened with two couples, an older gay couple and a younger gay couple. and I love you, dear.
Stephen DeRosa played my husband. Stephen DeRosa played my husband. who's Italian? Steve DeRosa is a very Italian, but whenever he plays a part, well, not always, but when he played that part, all of a sudden he was this Jewy old schlub. And I was like, what are you doing? But Stephen DeRosa, who I love and adore, of course, made it so funny. He made it so funny because he had the inflatable wings on. He had the sunscreen on. He was just a nut. And but we would always look at each other like we're a couple. We're a couple. Okay. We're a couple.
Well, across the aisle was Jay Armstrong Johnson. This is not, however, that clip, but I just felt like talking about it.
Okay.
But this is him. You and I talked about last year. There was a point where Broadway Bears added live singing.
Yeah.
And which I think just really turned it more into a Broadway show. The stakes were higher. Mm-hmm. You have sung live during Broadway Bears.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, because especially if you're stripping, as you will see with Jay, because you got a lot going on.
There's a whole lot going on. And there's not a lot of rehearsal. So you're like, I don't know the lyrics. I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
And does the mic work? And I hear the sound. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, here's Jay in Strip You, I believe.
Ah.
Let's take a clip.
I was confused, that isn't so now, because I know exactly where I'm gonna go now. We talked enough, let's start the show now. I wanna show the world what I got. Oh, I'll come.
Stripping you, you're accepted. Come as you are, come as you like, as long as you come, we know you'll be happy. Strip you, get connected.
And that, by the way, is Mark McKillop on his on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Taking off his pants because, you know, why wouldn't he? But for the first time, I am pleased to welcome Jay Armstrong Johnson. Hey, Jay. Oh, you're muted, darling. Darling, unmute yourself.
Isn't that what happens? Hi, Billy. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, Jay.
It's good
so
to see
you.
So
what memories does that bring back?
One, being fully terrified. I mean, when you step out onto that Bears stage with that live sound, you can't hear a thing because the crowd is going so nuts that like you can't hear your cue music. So you're kind of just going off of God knows what. But it's the first time in my life I truly felt like a mega rock star, because it's like a stadium concert, kind of like Lady Gaga style performance. I mean, there's thousands of people out there. The kind of energy that you're getting from that crowd, is it truly blows your hair back. But yeah, it was my first year. And
that your first?
That was my very first year doing Bears.
Wow.
Yes.
And you got to sing. You know, not many people get to sing. Most people just get to be naked.
And I believe Amanda Green wrote that opening number, and she and I have been working together for years. So she's one of my favorite people, and she's so smart. Her lyrics are always so fun and so exciting and so sexy. But yeah, I've been able to do the opening number, I think, for the last three Broadway Bears that have been live. So I did Strip You, I did Game Night, and then we did Take Off.
Yeah, that Game Night was the Clue number? Was that?
Yeah, totally.
And so, you know, Christopher, you just mentioned how the stakes are higher since you went to Hammerstein, that it's like a real Broadway show. And I think that clip shows the scope of the production and the size of that stage and the crowd. And there's at least 75 people on that stage.
Oh, easy. Yeah. And it's like what Jay was saying, is the terrifying thing, because I've done that before. It is because It's the opening number. So they're jacked up. They are ready. We were talking before, Billy, about that. It's like people like look forward to this every year. I mean, this is the thing. And so when the lights go to half, it's like definite. It's like a jet engine. And then there's a stage manager pushing you backstage, just go. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Right.
And also, I suppose that there's got to be pressure because the opening number, you're setting the tone for the whole thing. If you fuck up, the whole show's fucked.
Yeah, but the audience, too. The audience is, I mean, what Jay was saying, too, is like they love you no matter what. I mean, they're just so happy to see you and just enjoy the show. So,
yeah. And the opening number is also really cool. I think Sebastian touched on this, but it's running the gamut of LGBTQ+. It's women, it's men, it's all body types. That's what I love so much about the opening number, that it really is like, it's saying everyone is welcome. This is an inclusive moment. Because I always thought, when I was younger, I always thought Bears was for jacked gays that want to just get up there and show their body. And then when I found myself in it, I found myself changed emotionally. I was there. I was not only there to have a fun, sexy time, but all of a sudden I was crying at rotation when I was realizing how much money we were raising and the community that we were building and the sex positivity around it. I mean, the opening number really does set the tone for all of that inclusivity, which is very cool.
I read something that you had said about, I guess it was maybe 10 years before you did Bears, that you went as a spectator.
Yeah.
And you really had like an epiphany, like, this is what I want to do.
For sure. I tried to be in Bears, actually, I think when I was 20 years old, and I had to miss a rehearsal and they cut me. I was like, well, dang, I wanted to be a mailbox so that Nick Adams can, you know, get in my box.
Nick Adams is going to put a letter in your box. I know.
That's correct.
Or put a package in your box. Put a package in your box.
A package in your box.
Put it in the spot. Put it in the spot.
You know, we'll do it at some point. That's something to put it on your bucket list.
That's right.
And what has changed over the years, you know, the difference between going as a fan and then going as a participant?
Well, the first time I went was at Roseland. And so it was a different vibe there just because the space was a bit different. But it's maintained its excitement for sure. Hammerstein just kind of like blew it out of the water in terms of what we can pull off with aerial acts and with LED screens and the kind of money that's given to the production and given to Broadway Cares is just, it's just blown up bigger. I think it gets bigger and better and more wild every year. And last year was so sad to not be able to do it because it's the thing I look forward to most. And I was hoping to fly my father in for Father's Day, so, you know, he could partake in all of the excitement. He would probably lean more toward the lady numbers, but those lady numbers are hot.
Yeah, they are. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those heels numbers, they get me every year.
Oof. Yeah, I think that's Christopher brought it up earlier, is the amount of work that you guys do for free. And, you know, a lot of people who are doing this are in a show at the same time.
For sure.
It is really dedication. And you usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you only have a day in the theater or maybe two.
Yeah, it's the day, right?
The day. Yeah, that morning. That morning.
I mean, that is a logistical nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times it falls on a Sunday. And so you get there at the ass crack of dawn. And then a lot of people you're saying goodbye to so they can do their matinees. So then come back after their matinee to do a dress run and then two shows. So it really ends up being like a...
And there are people that don't have shows that are in the show, but they're the first one to get their makeup and hair done. So then when you finally get back from your show, they've been sitting around for hours in hair and makeup waiting for the show to start. And then you're being shoved into a makeup table and like, put your makeup on, put your hair on, put your hair on, put your costume on.
Right.
Go! And like, I don't know the lyrics anymore. I don't know the lyrics.
Jay, I have heard, having been at the shows, but I've never gone to two in one day. So I have usually opted for the second show, which I've been told traditionally is a little raunchier and a little bit more anything goes. Has that been your experience as a performer?
Kind of. I think that the midnight show usually brings in a younger, more drunk crowd. And so that
and the Billy Masters, apparently.
And the Billy Masters of the world. So, yeah. And you've also had one show to kind of get the kinks out of the way. And so everyone's feeling a little bit more comfortable and in their body. And if the strippables didn't work the first show, then like, let's get it in the second show. So, you know, that first show is kind of a live dress rehearsal so that when you get to that second show, we're a bit more confident and we can deal with that first wave of energy that we got from that first show.
Christopher, when did the second show start? Was that at the beginning or did that evolve?
It was always at Splash. We have to ask Jerry about this one more time, but from what I understand, it was one show at Splash, but people were just tipping, and then they did it another night, and then Jerry had the idea of, because the bar was too crowded, mm-hmm. they started doing a cover charge. So there's a cover charge, and then you tip as well. So they're getting a show, they're getting a ticket, but they had to shove everybody out of Splash. They had to shove everybody. If you want to see another show, you got to pay. That's how they kept raising money. And then it turned into, then it was kind of like two shows at Splash. I think the shows originally were at 9 and midnight, but now they're like 9:30, 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Even though we're trying to keep it together, you know, it's just, sometimes the show runs longer or shorter than you expect because we've never actually run the show. So we really don't know. So, but it is actually a lot of fun because you're all flying by the seat of your pants and that's exciting.
Yeah. And performers I have known over the years, they've also told me the first show is for most of them a completely sober show because you couldn't be drunk for two shows.
You'd be surprised.
All right, let me rephrase that. Could you be drunk for two shows?
I was once, and I'm not drunk. I won't say drunk. I will just say
just
I was
a buzz.
Someone had overserved me.
I'm wondering how that tequila bottle moment downstairs, if that's a thing of the past now with COVID, because I mean, right. Passing around a bottle that we're all just chugging from,
yeah, chugging down. Like
a bit precarious these days.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody just gets a little bottle of Cuervo now.
That's right. A little like travel size airplane bottle.
Airplane bottle.
Milliliters. Jay, where are you spending the pandemic? Where have you been?
I've mostly been in New York City with my partner up in the Heights, but I've come down to Texas where my family is to do some work. I've worked with my performing arts high school a lot, and I'm actually down in Texas right now directing a new performing arts camp with a theater company that I grew up with here called Kids Who Care. So I'm having so much fun. My friend Ahmad Simmons and Mary Michael Patterson and I started a company called Bridge Arts Project, and we're trying to be a mentorship program for young artists and be their bridge of sorts from our DFW area to New York. So we are pairing up with Kids Who Care to do this new exciting performing arts camp live in person, which I know kids have been itching for. So that's what I'm down in Texas doing right now.
And that's got to be great for you as a performer, that way if you haven't been able to interact with people, to do something like this must be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. It's super exciting to be able to direct a show and choreograph numbers. And we're also shooting some music videos so we can get kids used to what it means to be performing for a camera. So it's a whole big ordeal, and it's going to be a blast.
Cool. And do you have something coming up when things reopen, or did you have something canceled?
I just had a show canceled at the Muni, actually. They ended up taking their season from a 6 season to a 4 show season. That was one of those shows that got postponed to 2022. So that was canceled. I know, right?
Which one was it?
Sweeney Todd.
Oh, and you were Tobias, probably.
I was Anthony, actually.
Anthony, same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
He's young enough to be a Tobias.
Thanks, Billy.
You're welcome.
But as of now, I'm kind of working toward my annual Halloween concert that I do every year for Broadway Cares.
All right, your Hocus Pocus benefit is so good. I had shown it this year. I showed a clip of it when we did a Halloween show. You were so great as Winifred. And the behind-the-scenes footage that you did, I don't know how you did it logistically. It seemed, because it was at the height of COVID.
Yeah.
And you had a COVID protocol person there. You were spraying people down. It was like you were in like a contamination unit.
Yeah.
And then, okay, we'll do it. Everyone out. And just whoever had to be there was there.
Yeah, it was truly wild. And the kind of protocols that we had to follow, that the CDC recommended for television and film production, I mean, the kind of research and development we had to do, the meetings that we had to have with Broadway Cares and the Tom Viola, you know, safety was at the forefront of what we were creating, and no one got sick. We raised $250,000 for Broadway Cares.
It was a great show, too.
Thanks so much, Billy. We had a good time.
You can see it on YouTube. It's on
Yeah.
YouTube. Yeah, you do such great work. And can I just say, just on a personal level, your Candide was perhaps the best Candide I've seen.
Billy,
I knew Bernstein and I had a relationship with him. And so I can say that I actually can say, I think it's a Candide of that character, not necessarily the whole production, which is a great production, that helped production's great, but your portrayal of the performance is everything he would have wanted in a Candide.
Thanks, Billy. That means a great deal, truly.
We'll talk about it at some point. Yeah, it was really, it was so good. And Linda Lavin, come on.
Oh, legend.
Come on.
Legend.
I'm going to throw you backstage, but we're coming around the end. So I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you, Jay. Oh, my God, this is so much fun. Okay, and our last performer, you saw him in the last clip. He was the one taking off Jay's shorts. I should clarify, he was the one taking off his shorts in that clip.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to limit it to like he's the only one. Mark McKillop has a distinction for the past two live years. No, actually, I shouldn't say. All right. Mark McKillop is telling me three. Okay. So the last two live years, I was going to get to it, Mark. And the virtual year, 3 years, he has been the top fundraiser for Broadway Bears, a staggering amount, which I know he will tell us. But in this clip, you will hear, I think it's Christopher who announces how much he raised.
I may have, yeah.
It may have been you. Yeah. This is the only clip we have, so let's show it.
Raising an outstanding, record-breaking $47,670.
I mean, it's just a staggering amount of money and a staggeringly beautiful man who has been part of the Billy Masters Live crew for a while. Please welcome Mark McKillop. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
All right. So how much money have you raised in total?
I think I'm just shy of $170,000.
For fuck's sake. Really?
Amazing.
So this year we got to crack $200,000 this year.
And so just to let people know what they're giving to, hello.
Well, she doesn't look like that anymore. COVID made sure I don't look like that anymore.
Well, you're not alone. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. We're all suffering. But you are part of this year's virtual show. You were the one that actually posted the Times Square footage. Well, the first time I saw it. So what was that like?
It's been a dream, a small dream, to perform in Times Square. I think I would always thought that would be so cool. I always had an idea of like, eventually at some point when I make a name for myself in this town, maybe I'll get to sing at the ball drop 1 year for Times Square. So like in a small way accomplishing that. But it was really cool, and it was nice to see everyone, because I mean I've been locked in my apartment for this whole time. So it was nice to see people in public and get to hug them. And
how was it dancing again? I mean, I know that it's, you know, it's on steps, so it's not quite dancing, but it's doing a routine.
Oh no, that was dancing. they always send us like a packet with the choreography broken down. Well, they have this year and the past year because it was filmed. But I was like, oh, I'll take a look at it the weekend before, you know. And then I opened it and I was learning it and I was like, okay, I got this, still got it. And then I watched to the end of the video when they played the music with it and I was like, don't got it. Let's go back. That's really quick. Let me make sure this is ingrained in my body. But I mean, I did nothing because I was on tour right up until the pandemic. And my lower back, cause I was kind of a lifter in our cast. I was on tour with Anastasia. And so, pretty much in every musical number, I had a woman over my head. And those costumes were heavy. They were like 25 pounds, those Romanoff gowns. So I was lifting these women. So my lower back was destroyed. So it was time for a break for me. And then COVID happened. And so now I feel personally responsible. I asked the universe for a break. But yeah, no, I mean, I laid in bed for a full year and a half just watching all of Netflix. So it was nice to perform again. It was nice to be like, oh, I can still do this.
I had because we're coming back. Broadway shows are coming back, which is great. But it was like our opening date has been kind of moved up. I was like, holy shit, I don't have Broadway stamina right now. I don't because doing 8 shows a week, and you're singing A flats and you're dancing and moving, doing the same thing. And I am not there. And so Jen Simard, who plays my wife in Company, and I we're being each other's kind of, you got this. We're going to coach each other through it because we got about 3 months, 3 or 4 months to get back to Broadway stamina. So
you got it, baby. You got it.
I got it.
You were doing, Christopher, you were doing rehearsals with the cast, at least virtual rehearsals during the pandemic.
Yeah, that just kind of stopped. Yeah, that stopped. We still have a Zoom. We still Zoom with each other and not as much. We used to do almost every week. We'd read through the script because we thought it was going to be like a month or two. And then it ended up being, we're still here. So we would just play games and have cocktail hour and just hang out, just say hi, just connect again. And that's all. And so many good things happened out of this. Itai Benson got married. He and his girlfriend, they was like, let's do it. So they got married and it was so exciting. And so many good things have happened for people despite all this madness. So it's been terrific. But we're having another Zoom soon. And so I'm looking forward to seeing it because it's been about a month and a half now since our last one.
Wow. The entire cast, when you left, the entire cast is returning. No changes.
I can't say that.
Okay.
I can't comment on
it. I had to ask. Yeah. You don't have to
answer. I will say yes.
All right. Yes-ish. Okay.
Yes.
So, Mark, you posted a couple of pictures, and I love these. So this is all you dancers doing your number. I mean, it's incredible. Were there people staying around, like, watching?
Yeah.
How long were you out there?
We showed up at 2 Broadway Cares offices at, I want to say, maybe 6 or 8 in the morning. No, it was 8. Okay. It was 8 o'clock. And then we were there until like 1:30.
Wow.
Jerry kept being like, one more take. And I was like,
ugh. My favorite picture that you posted, and what picture I'm going to show.
Is it me with the cooler?
Yeah. They told you to bring a robe. Why don't you tell the story?
Well, in that email that they sent us with all the choreography, they were like, please bring a robe so you're not standing in Times Square, like, half naked. And I have robes from, like, shows that I've done that have, like, the show logo on it. And I was like, I'm not going to be that girl that shows up with the show robe. And I'm like, I did the show.
I was in the show.
So. I wasn't going to do that. So I was like, well, I don't have a robe. Let me just bring my pea coat. And so I lived my fashion fantasy in Times Square. And people were like taking photos in this spot because this was like right off camera where they couldn't be seen. And there was this cooler. So I was like, well, I will use a prop if you give me one.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? I love it. I just thought that was the funniest.
Did people give you tips?
No, but it was funny because they're restructuring the Palace Theater. I mean, they're raising it up and putting that commercial space underneath it. So there's like a ton of construction workers right there.
Hi, boys. So
they, at their lunch hour, brought over their sandwiches and sat on the edge of Duffy Square and just sat and watched us do this number over and over and over. So that was fun.
I will remind people, broadwaycares.org/bears. You can watch the show Sunday night, and you can give. Now, Mark, how do people tip you? Because I know that, you know, you've got a reputation now to maintain. How can they tip you?
Personally?
Well,
I think all of our links go live at the end of
on Sunday.
So all you have to do is follow me on social media. And I'll be posting way too much, and you'll see the link. You'll be there. You'll be begging me to stop posting.
And you know, how have you done this? Because I mean, it's 3 years, and people are go-getters, and people, you know, we had Reed Kelly on last time. Wasn't he the high one before you?
He's won 4 years in a row. So,
oh my god! Oh, then you've got a little bit of pressure on you. I hate to say.
Well, thanks, Billy. Thanks for putting that on me. I wasn't.
You know, I've done you a favor. I didn't invite Reed this year. So there's only so much I can do for you. You're on your own. But how do you, I mean, because they're all really working so hard. What has been your magic?
Honestly,
I mean, you put out. I know that.
Wow. I get excited about doing Bears. First of all, Bears is an amazing family that I love. I love that I know so many people in New York now because of it. Fundraising for me is like, especially for something that I'm passionate about, excites me. So like when I get to that next little threshold of like, oh, I'm close to 5,000, then I like make another post and I'm like, we're so close. Let's keep going. I'm constantly posting is kind of my, and Trisha Doss, who works at Broadway Cares. She works in the office, and she was telling us like, she just thanks people and people love being thanked. So like, I started also doing that as well, just writing a post every day and thanking all the people that donated the day before. And people wanted their name on the website as well. So I just kept thanking people. So it's kind of, I switch it up. I do a bunch of random things every year to try.
I gave you playbills or something, right?
Yeah. For a couple of years, I can't unfortunately do it this year because none of the shows are open, but I've reached out to some of my friends who are in Broadway shows and had them get the whole company to sign it. So I did those in bundles of four, and people would, you know, donate hundreds of dollars to try to win them. So that was another thing that I did.
And how long is the tipping period?
Do we know? The last 2 years have been different because it's been online. So normally we fundraise leading up to Broadway Bear so that they can announce the winner at the midnight show for the strip-a-thon. But this year, because it's online, they've been doing it after the fact. So we start fundraising on this Sunday after the show, and it goes till July 31st. So there's
So you guys have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Again, reminder, broadwaycares.org/bears. Let's bring everybody out. Let's see. Hold on. Patty. And where's Jay? Jay, hey. And Sebastian. Oh, my God. This is such a good-looking group. I'm just going to switch people around because, you know, Sebastian's leaning that way. So, and I'll put Mark in the middle because I know it is a position he prefers. Oh, you know, I could say this about you, Mark, for God's sakes. I'm just curious, how many of you have worked together on these shows?
Oh, is there Jay and I,
who hasn't worked with anybody?
Mark and I've done one. Patrick and I have done one. Sebastian and I have done one. But not necessarily. I knew Patrick. I knew Mark. I knew Jay. But and I did, like I said, I didn't know Sebastian very well. But it was a strip to the, was it Strip Odyssey? No. Mm-hmm. It was a comic strip. Comic strip. That's the one. Comic strip.
Sebastian, how about you?
I think the only person is Jay that I haven't done at Broadway Bears. Jay and I have worked together, but we haven't done Broadway Bears together, I think.
Right.
How about you, Jay? So you've worked then with everybody or maybe not Patrick?
I think maybe not Patrick. I think Mark has been there every year I've done there. Sieber's been there all but 1 year because I got to be the rotation announcer that year, which I was terrified of.
My God.
Very fun.
Like herding cats.
Herding cats, exactly. but Sebastian and I did a chorus line together.
Oh, cool.
Back in 2000. First National Tour.
Were you on that tour too?
Right? Am I lying, Sebastian? Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised we didn't meet because I was dancing in the Atlanta Ballet and you guys toured through there. And I remember meeting like a chunk of the.
Yeah. I left after the first 7 months. Yeah. I think Sebastian and I both left after the first 6 months.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Mark, now you've worked with everybody.
I think we've all just, Sebastian, what Broadway Bears did we do together?
I'm not sure. I was just assuming that we
Monopoly. Had. Did you do the game night, Mark?
No, my first Broadway Bears was the first year it moved to Hammerstein.
Which
kind of bummed me because I really wanted to. I went to a handful of Broadway Bears at Roseland, and I remember standing there like very young, twinkie Mark McKill up at 21, being like, "I want to be up there." But yeah, I never.
And we should point out, Mark, there is a distinction that you have. All right, no, it's not a bad one. Don't worry.
You're really good at putting me into these corners.
I know. No, you are not only the highest fundraiser 3 years in a row. You have never appeared on a Broadway stage.
I haven't. No, that's my running joke at all of my one man shows.
I mean, it's amazing.
Is that I'm not Broadway's Mark McKillop.
You are not.
So I'm going to have to eventually at some point take that out of my act.
God willing. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully soon.
And Patrick, you've worked with, well, who have you worked with? Sebastian and Sieber?
Sebastian, I've actually done a concert. We did some on the town choreography. Do you remember that, Sebastian?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, do we have a production of On the Town here all of a sudden? Because I'm thinking, you know.
In Wheelock,
I mean,
New Jersey.
I'm sure we could make that happen.
Yeah, I can do too. It's fine. Another Bernstein show, ironically. So, somebody asked me this. I got a text last night, and I have never asked you guys this. So here's something, you know, on the seamy side, but I'm just curious. Has anyone hooked up at a Broadway Bears? Any of you?
I actually haven't. I think I'm so tired by the end of the night.
Sweaty, and you're finding dollar bills like days later in crevices. And you're so, they spray you with glitter and you're just so sweaty and gross. You go to the after party and then just, a lot of people just go to the after party and get like, you know, lit and then just stumble home. But by the time it's, because that's a long day. It starts at like 7 or 8 in the morning and then goes until 2 in the morning and it's nonstop. And plus some people have a Broadway show. Some people have two Broadway shows that day. So you're 8 a.m., two Broadway shows, two Broadway Bears, you know, so it's.
And a rehearsal.
But it definitely does happen. I haven't myself either, but I know that it definitely does happen.
Oh yeah.
I would hope so. Is it as sexy as the audience thinks, or is more. It a job?
Oh, more. Way sexier backstage.
Well, I have been backstage with the body painting, and it's really amazing that people have absolutely I've been around performers for years, so people have no inhibitions backstage, but it is completely naked walking around, and who cares?
It's quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has there been a backstage incident that stands out to any of you?
No.
That you could share in public.
Alan Cumming got very friendly with me.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
wow. When I post for a picture, he put his hand on my back and then some things happened. I'm like, oh, okay. That's one way to make me smile.
That's fun.
Careful what you're saying. Careful.
That's okay. It's not a Me Too moment if you didn't mind.
I wasn't complaining, no.
There you go.
Consent.
Right, exactly. So who is in this year's show? So we know Sieber, you're in it with your voice.
And just the voice.
You're in it. So it's just the two of you, right? Oh, and Jay, are you in it this year? You're in it, right? What do you do?
I believe I'm in the opening sequence. I think that's what Nick told me.
So y'all, as Christopher and I were talking about, one of those independently shot things, who is in your clip?
I shot by myself on my day because it's like a Zoom kind of type style. I don't want to give anything away, but I am isolated in my own world and I'm falling in love with someone on my screen. So they shot me separately upstate at Nick Kenkel's house, which is a beautiful house. And then I believe they shot the other part of the music video at Mark Fisher Fitness, where the more music video style dance performance with Alec. Oh, what's Alec's last name?
Varkas.
Yeah, Alec Varkas. He's
ugly,
he's,
hideous.
He's terrible. Worst body ever.
Oh, he doesn't even have tube fans.
Don't take that, bitch.
Mark, are you in a number other than what you did at Times Square?
Yeah, I am. I'm in Frank Lucia's number, which we filmed downtown at a theater. Can't remember what's the name of the theater. I'm the worst. But it was Kellen Stansel's choreography. It was fun. It was obviously everything was COVID safe. We all got tested and to be able to do the number. But it was fun. I'm allowed to put. They've sent us very short teasers that we're allowed to post tomorrow.
And what was it like being on a stage and actually interacting with people again?
It's very odd. It was strange. And it was funny because our costume designer was calling us beforehand to set up, like, tell us what to bring. And he was like, oh, so what do you want to strip down into? Like, you know, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just strip down into a pair of briefs and like a blazer. And he goes, why are you wearing a blazer? And I was like thinking in my head, because that's what I feel comfortable wearing right now with this body. And he was like, no blazer. And I was like, okay, no blazer. but it was great. It was nice. I mean, this has been such a breath of fresh air, like a small step back to some normalcy. Yeah, hopefully more of it. I mean, I think we're all moving very aggressively to opening back up everything. So
cool. And my hope is that by next year, there will actually be a live Broadway Bears.
Oh, there will be.
For sure.
And Now, I'm just curious. Who would participate in a live Broadway Bears next year? Hands.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So, Sebastian, we could fly you out. If we fly you out, you're there, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. See, that's what I want to hear.
I'll even fly myself out.
Oh my God. All right, great. Guys, I just want to thank you again. Let's point it out. BroadwayCares.org/bears. The only one of you, Jay, are you also like in the running? Like, could you perhaps top Mark when it comes to fundraising?
As if. Are you joking?
If you're thinking of tipping Jay, tip Mark. Is that what you're
saying? Tip Mark instead is really what I'm saying.
Okay.
We're going to hit that 200,000 threshold for sure this year. You got this, Mark.
I mean, I'd like to hit 250,000, but that's ambitious.
All right. You're such a greedy bitch. My God. I'm happy with 200,000. All right, guys. I want to thank you all for doing this. I know I've kept you 15 minutes later than I said. Sieber knows. That's what I do. But I thank you all for doing this. Any last things, anything left that I haven't covered that you just want to say?
I guess donate to Broadway Cares.
Yeah, watch the show on Sunday. Watch the show on Sunday. It's going to be great. And just donate. And it's free. Yeah. Remember that. It's free. So it's not going to cost you anything, but donate.
And that's the thing. I think that's so important, Christopher. Thank you. Is that if you've always wanted to go, this is your chance. You have no excuse. Watch her dome for free. And I think they will replay it. So if you miss it live, you'll be able to see it. And tip any amount. Literally, this is one thing I've learned from Seth and James' show, Stars in the House, is that even if you have $5, every little bit helps. It's going to a good cause that is not top heavy, that really gives money to people who need it. And I don't say that about a lot of charities, but this is true about this one. So I just want to thank everyone, and thank you to Jerry Mitchell, who couldn't be here because he is in London dealing with hairspray in COVID situations. So, but he will be watching this. So thank you, Christopher Sieber, Sebastian Lacoste, Jay Armstrong Johnson, Mark McKillop, and Patrick Boyd. I love you all for doing this. And if you stick around, whoever's around afterwards, I'll see you backstage. This has been Billy Masters Live. I'm not even taking everyone off the screen. Thank you for watching. We will see you next week. I don't know who's on next week's show. Check the website. And thank you all for watching. Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
Bye.